is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And on The Stack, we're going to talk about October 17th.
That's pretty good, Alex.
Yeah.
And you're looking right at the calendar. I can't believe you're getting it wrong.
That's what this is called?
Yeah.
This thing with the dates and the months and everything?
Well, you govern your life by that via the sun and the moon mostly, right?
Absolutely. I go to sleep as soon as it's dark. I wake up as soon as it's light. Yeah. I've been sleeping a lot these days.
That's great. You look so rested, and we're going to have to carry you home again tonight.
Oh, very excited about that. I'm also excited about the comics that we're going to talk about. Let's kick it off with Lucifer, number one from DC Comics.
Oh.
Pete pointed at Justin here because Justin, of course, is Lucifer.
Yes, I'm well known as the devil, at least on this comic book podcast.
Yep.
I have fallen from grace, had my wings clipped. But otherwise, life is pretty good in hell.
It was, from the Sandman world.
Yeah,
which,
but that's okay. I might not necessarily love this. You never know. You got to ask people's opinion.
Yeah, this is like when you see some sort of cartoony art, you immediately point at me,
if
it sucks.
Yeah, because you love that kind of stuff.
If there was a spinoff series where one of the Punisher's cutest guns was the main character, and I was like, Pete's going to love this. But what if it wasn't? If it was a relationship comic about the gun falling in love with his own bullets? Or something.
Or if it was in the Sandman universe.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sandman's guns.
What if they finally moved the Punisher
into your face. I would watch that.
No, Dream
this
gun.
This is awful, guys.
Well, anyway, this comic book, as Pete ably mentioned, is set in the Sandman universe, or rather the rebooted Sandman universe, which are all very lightly connected to this overarching plot of the new Sandman being missing. Meanwhile, Lucifer has gotten trapped in a place of his own. He is no longer the Lord of Hell. This is picking up after the Sandman universe one-shot. But what did you think about it? Justin, you're a big fan of these series.
Yeah.
Why don't you kick it off?
I liked it already. It has a very Shakespearean feel. It reminded me of...
That you love that shit.
That's true. It had sort of classic Vertigo vibe to it. A lot of elevated text. The characters, we don't quite know exactly what's going on.
Who Lucifer is, really.
Well,
he's the dude with the beard. It follows two characters. Lucifer, as he is fighting through all these different stories he seems to be trapped in, and another character I'm blanking on the name
John Decker,
Decker, there you go, who is dealing with some tragedy of his own. Initially, I thought he was dealing with it in the real world, but clearly he's not.
Yeah, I thought they were going to end up being the same. Lucifer and John Decker were the same person, or there's some sort of allegory or metaphorical thing happening here.
Still time, I guess.
It still could be, and it's seems like maybe the second issue is where we'll find the answers here. But if you like, this has sort of middle run Sandman vibes to it also. Back in, I don't know, what, maybe issue 40 to 60 or 70, if that was a favorite period of yours in the Sandman canon. Sandman cannon, like the Sandman gun.
Ooh, shoot him with a cannon. Would you like it if Punisher trotted around a cannon instead of carried guns?
That would be great if he was hold on a second. I have to. Well, Campbell's so heavy.
I have to pack down this powder.
I'm going to get you.
I would love to see Revolutionary War Punisher, by the way.
That's a fun idea. Remember Marvel 1812?
Yeah, that was the comic book tying back into Sandman by Neil Gaiman that got me back into comics.
Was it? We were already doing this podcast when that came out.
No.
was that very high-pitched noise you just made?
That was lying. It wasn't. It came out before that.
Did it?
Yeah, it absolutely did, because I, very briefly, I was reading comics but pretending not to buy comics. And then,
what an elaborate scam you were.
Well, because I was doing a thing where, like, when I was traveling to college, I'd be like, oh, I'll just hang out at this newsstand for 6 hours. I don't buy comics. What's anybody talking about?
Is that what you thought a party was in college?
Yeah.
You and a bunch of magazines?
That's still a party.
Yeah. Wait, you were the guy who would like read the comics in the store and not buy them?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Pete hates that guy.
Then here's the thing, is that I was super interested in the idea of 1812 because of Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
I missed it because I guess I, wasn't at a bus stop at that time, and went to Forbidden Planet and I saw the trade and I was like, oh, this is really nice looking. Oh, man. oh, if I buy this, it's all over.
Yep.
And it was.
And look at you now.
It was wow. all over.
That's a beautiful story, and I'm glad we're in it.
I'd like to think we appeared on his shoulder, like each side was like, do it.
Like like two devils, one on each shoulder. It was like, do it. And I'm like, do it more.
Probably get another train.
This is a gorgeous comic book. That's one thing that I will say. It is hard to grasp onto the story, but the visuals are very haunting, very weird, disturbing at points.
Yeah. They shove like a guy in a bucket. I mean, what's worse than that?
That was cool.
Yeah, I'd get it in a bucket.
You would get in a bucket voluntarily?
Yeah, whatever, man. I'll do whatever.
That's weird.
If someone was like, shape of bucket, I'd be like, yeah, form of water.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, nice.
What did you think of this, Pete?
It was a little confusing. I wasn't sure what was going on. The art was creepy. Shoving the devil in the bucket was weird. I don't know, man. I'd like to read more. But as of an issue, just like checking this out, I'm not completely on board, but I could be swayed to get into it.
All right. Nice. Let's move on to something I bet you're a little more Shuri about. Shuri number one from Marvel Comics.
Oh, boy.
This is following Black Panther's sister. It's channeling a little bit of the Black Panther movie, but spinning her off into her own title. What'd you guys think about this debut?
I'm very excited about this, but it was kind of a weird first issue where it talked a lot about Black Panther. And like Suri was just like commenting on her brother's stuff. Like, I wanted her to be in the mix more, which I feel like is coming. And I just felt like this was a lot of setup for first issue. But I thought the art was amazing, and I'm all very excited about this project, and I want more.
I agree. The art was great, and I also agree with you, Pete. There's a lot of continuity here. I was surprised. I thought this comic was going to be like sort of a spinoff. Shuri goes on a mission of her own away from the kingdom, mm-hmm. and it is almost the exact opposite. It is a Shuri taking over the kingdom potentially, or just like dealing with a lot of Black Panther continuity. Not to say that was bad. I was just surprised. I thought it was cool. To your point, I want to hear more from her.
Yep. There's... I believe this is my first time comic book author, and it feels very texty at the beginning. There's a lot going on, as you guys mentioned, just continuity wise, talking through a lot of the things about Wakanda. But when it does calm down and it focuses on Shuri and Shuri's science in particular, that's a lot of fun. There's a sequence involving her flying that was really enjoyable.
That was cool.
There's another couple of inventions that she pulls out that are really cool as well. I think the voice of Shuri is spot on. So if you only know the character from the movie, you can definitely jump into the comic book very easily. But I agree with you guys. The real standout of this issue is the art. There are sequences in here that are absolutely stunning to look at, the way that they're laid out, the way that they're drawn. The characters of Black Panther, T'Challa, and Shuri are both perfectly captured and perfectly unique. So even though I have a little trepidation about the beginning, I definitely think you should pick it up. That's what I'd say.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, you specifically, Justin.
Yeah, I'll pick it up.
Okay, great. Sounds great.
I did. I read it. Now I'm going to put it back down.
Sounds good. Let's move on to an Image comic, Hack/Resurrection number 12. Now, Justin, you might have missed this. Pete reconnected with his old buddy, Tim Seeley.
Yeah.
Touchy-feely Tim Seeley at New York Comic Con. They touched beards. It was a beautiful thing to witness. I was standing less than a foot away.
Oh,
my
God.
Nose was to their nose. And Pete... kept talking to him about Hack/Resurrection, even though he doesn't write Hack/Resurrection.
Right.
This is actually by Teenie Howard, is now writing the book, has been writing it for the past 12 issues. Mm-hmm. Pete, how do you feel about this issue?
Well,
given that Tim Seeley didn't write it, the previous 11 issues.
Exactly. So Tim Seeley, what I was talking to him about was handing over his baby to somebody. Like he created
Let me be honest. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You were not. I'm a little worried about your lack of concern who you hand your baby over to.
Well, but
I feel like you've got to do a little bit better job of screening.
Of screening?
Yeah.
If they have two hands.
Yeah, you're just handing them over to. You're like, here, hold my baby. I want to get coffee.
What I feel like is if somebody has a vision for your baby, let them run with it, you know?
Exactly. Let the baby out in the world.
That's what Tim C was telling me. He was saying that like he felt like he had. you know, did a great job with it and wanted to hand it over to somebody who he felt was perfect for the task, which I can completely understand. The problem I'm having as someone who's an old school Hackslash fan is that their voices are different. This is a different Vlad and a different Cassie Hack. So it's like harder for me to keep to like get into this. I enjoy the new direction. It's fun. It's a lighter Vlad and it's a lighter Cassie. But I feel like once this author like kind of gets in this world, they'll be making better choices. But right now, it's just kind of light and fun.
Yeah.
So this issue follows Cassie and Vlad, who are slasher hunters to a small town. There's a bunch of comics parody stuff that happens in there. They're not allowed to curse in the town.
Yeah.
There's no nudity or sex or anything like that. There's a guy named Dick Wiener who runs the town, and the town is the town of Wortham. You can probably figure out what's going on there if you know anything about comic book history.
I did a report on Frederick Wortham when I was in high school.
Wow.
Fun fact.
I know all about that.
We're learning a lot of history about each other today.
Yes, that is true. So while you were running away from comics and sneaking around like a scumbag, I was only getting deeper, learning more about the history.
Ooh.
That's a real burn on Alex.
What about you, Pete?
What's the question?
There he is.
I thought this issue was fun. I think there's some very silly stuff that happens in here. To your point, it's not as consequential as the end of Hackslash, which also, mind you, I think probably got too far deeply into continuity and a little too serious for my tastes.
Yeah.
This is getting back to the lightness of the first couple of issues. There are silly jokes in there. The panel at the end is gross and funny in exactly the right way.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a casual, slight horror book with some comedy overtones, I think this is a good one to check out.
Yeah,
how do you feel about it?
I think the same thing. It's fun. It definitely, I was surprised by how sort of goofy it was that they can't swear, so everything comes out like a comic book in squiggles and symbols.
Yep.
And I could sort of feel Pete not liking that joke, but it was for what it was. I think it was fun. Maybe they should.
You probably got extra enjoyment because you're like, oh, Pete's not really enjoying this.
I don't enjoy seeing you suffer, Pete.
It seems like that's not true.
That is not accurate. I love to have you be happy, healthy, and be reading murder on a daily basis.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Let's move on to another DC comic book, Batman number 57. Now, this is about a character named Bruce Wayne. His parents were killed in an alley, and he put on a bat suit, and now he fights crime. And that's kind of where we pick up with this issue.
Yeah. Sort of right there, I guess. Yeah. He is fighting crime, just regular crimes. Also, really lighthearted tone to this issue.
Yes.
Yeah, it turns out Bruce Wayne was a creepy kid as a child.
Bruce Wayne!
Oh, man. Put it on video. Well, the storyline, this is the final issue of a three-part story, I believe, where Nightwing got shot and
in the head.
In the head. Which didn't kill him. It just changed his personality. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got a Nightwing logo bullet hole in his head. So
that's
he's cool. Feel pretty good.
That's, you got to have a good doctor.
Yeah. Did you know if you get shot in the head, it actually is like usually your first initial or symbol or whatever.
Yeah, what is your symbol?
It's just a big sandwich.
Just a big sandwich. And Pete's yours. Would like your wound, your bullet hole wound. Would
yeah, it's either the shape of a bullet or like a skull.
Shape of a bullet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so original.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Great. What about yours, Justin?
Very, very rare. I guess mine would be just like an actor holding up the Hamlet skull.
God, really, I was wondering if it would be the classic, like, you know, like a jester face and like,
theatrical masks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, because...
Well, anyway, so Nightwing got shot in the head. It turns out it was KG Beast who did it in his civilian identity. We've been dealing with his backstory, his relationship with his father, as Batman tracks him down to a snowy wasteland. And this issue is split into two parts. It's a knockdown, drag-out fight between KG Beast and Batman. And it's contrasted with a story with art by Mark Buckingham.
Great.
That... gives you a little bit of a thematic resonance of what's going on. I'll say this. The fight was great, but I just wanted to get back to that story because I miss Mark Buckingham on Fables
made me miss Fables so hard.
I thought that was fantastic. I mean, the story is very upsetting, and but that was great. I love that.
Yeah, and I think I like the so in the Fables style story, a bunch of animals get caught in a like a pit, and they eat each other.
Right, which I'm surprised they didn't do like the totem pole style type of get out. But
oh, interesting. Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Now I'll tell you what: if the three of us ever get trapped in a hole and we do the totem pole thing, I'm just going to open my mouth and swallow you guys when you stand on top of me.
Oh, wow! Oh, classic. Man, that is your superpower.
Yeah,
you're super creepy.
Weird dude. Idea. You would just gorge on us right away while we were trying to escape.
Well, I'd say, hey guys, scramble up on top of me, and then I just open my mouth and you go whoop. Like a big old sandwich.
Wow, man. Again, once again, very true. But I love the theme of the animal is then eats all the other animals of the fox and is stuck in the pit as if the resonance of something that you've done in the past is going to always affect your life. And I feel like that's what we're getting with this storyline. Another home run from Tom King.
Yeah. How do you feel about this, Pete?
I thought the story was super creepy, and it said a lot about who Batman is as a person. And also, like, in the kind of real world, it was crazy that, like, Batman had a lead and just didn't give a fuck. He was like, fuck your information. I'm going to murder you and walk away.
In the end, KGB has had his neck broken, I believe, and he's like, I'll tell you, save me. Don't leave me here, and I'll tell you who hired me to kill Nightwing. And Batman's like,
I'm the world's greatest detective. Yeah. Fuck you.
That's, you know what he had? His real superpower? Confidence.
Ooh, that's pretty cool. I do think this is tying into that Batman is in a very dark place. He is very deep down in that hole right now, both with his marriage breaking up, stuff happening to Nightwing. So normally he would bring KG Beast back. He wouldn't break his neck. He'd find a way to get the information out of him. But that's not the Batman we're at right now.
That's crazy.
It's kind of upsetting to see, to be honest.
Yeah.
The other question that I have for you guys, there's a tease at the end there. KG Beast says, I'll tell you who hired me. Who do you think hired him? Where is this leading towards?
Yeah. I mean,
Bane.
I was going to think Bane.
Oh,
also.
You think it's Bane?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's God. Bruce Bane. Yeah. I mean, Bruce if Bane. This is an overarching story of breaking Batman and he took away, he gave him. I mean, sort of gave him a relationship, love, and then took that away. And he's taking away his son, his quote unquote son. That is the next logical step.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see how this is going to kind of wrap up because Tom King is making some crazy choices and I'm really eating it up right now.
The crazier part, if it is Bane and Bane's plan is to take away absolutely everything in Batman's life, we're only on issue 57 of a planned 103 issue run. There is some messed up stuff that's going to happen to the rest of the Bat family forward.
Yeah, he's going to take away Alfred. Yeah. He can take away just bats in general.
I killed all the bats.
Now there's a mosquito problem.
How am I going to deal with that? Well, I don't know what accent you're doing, but
I
it's
lost. I
no
lost
more
it.
Guano. That smells bad.
Anyway, what's the next comic?
I have to eat all of the fruit.
What's the next comic we're talking about?
What is this? Just relax and enjoy yourself. This is
calm
fun.
Down. This is not fun.
We're just having a good time.
We're just having some fun.
You talking about bat shit is not a good time.
Do you think I'm bat shit?
Yes, I do.
No, I'm the one who uses sonar.
Okay, right. The Whispering Dark.
Oh, you want to talk about that
one? Yeah, let's talk about Whispering Dark.
This is coming out October 24th from Dark Horse Comics. The title is actually Whispers in the Dark, number one. No spoilers, Pete.
Yeah.
No spoilers, because it's not coming out for a little bit. What do you guys think about this title?
You on the look to me?
Yeah, I'm looking to you.
I can give a little bit of the setup. So I didn't know exactly where this was going to go for most of the issue.
And I think that was felt like we were whispering in the dark as well.
Yeah, but essentially it concerns an army unit who ends up getting trapped by themselves out in the world. And then things get kind of upsetting from there. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, but it's like I think we spent a lot of the issue learning what the dynamics are because there's like the people who are hoping will save them start to sort of fall apart and fall away. And then it's up to some of our other characters to save the day. And then all of a sudden there's a supernatural element. Once again, it's an issue where we don't really know what's going on, but we know something bad is happening.
Yeah.
Let's just make this pact now, guys. If you guys are ever somewhere and you think you see somebody, but they're actually something else, Don't keep that to yourselves.
Like, right? Are you saying if I see a dentist and she turns out to be a hygienist?
No, no.
What do you mean?
I'm relating it to the comic book. I'm trying not to give away spoilers, you fucking dick.
I'm just trying to...
Here's what I'd say. If we're in a situation where we see something and we're not sure what it is, what I'll ask is for you guys to stand on my shoulders, and when you do, I'll open my mouth and I'll swallow you like a sandwich.
How do you eat sandwiches?
Very
Do you balance
poorly.
Them on your nose?
Extremely poorly.
One at a time and just...
Have you ever read the comic book Dagwood?
That's a very loose definition of a comic book.
Graphic novel.
And I think it's called Blondie. Dagwood is the name of the sandwich and the man.
Well, I mean, I couldn't focus on anything except for the sandwich and the man.
Oh, my God.
Also, it might have been called The Whispering Dark. I'm not 100% sure.
Hey, no spoilers.
Yeah, don't spoil
Don't spoil the title.
Oh, God, we're terrible at this. All right, last one.
It's The Whispering Dark.
The Whispering Dark.
The Whispering Dark. Let's move on and talk about Exorcisters, number one, also from Image Comics. Now, this is a new title kicking off, of course, as it is a number one. I don't know why I had to explain that.
No, it's good.
I got lost thinking about sandwiches. That's what's going on. It's, as the title says, it's about two sisters that very caustically battle supernatural mysteries. Here's what I particularly liked about this book. These two girls are assholes.
They definitely are.
What are you talking about?
Wait, what are you... No, in a good way. Like
in a fun
very,
way.
Yeah, in a
like
fun
a
way.
Like a fun asshole like me. And like Alex.
One of them is almost constantly drunk. The other one is getting very easily annoyed. They're investigating this mystery where something weird has happened at a wedding. The groom has been sucked down to hell, seemingly. And the creature designs are very creative. The characters are super charming in their assholeness. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I thought this was fun, too. I liked how sort of quickly it moved through things. And then the end was really worth waiting for, I thought.
Yeah. How'd you feel about it, Pete?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I was a little worried because the art seemed a little cute in the beginning.
You know who to yell at about that.
Yeah, but man.
Yeah, you didn't point at me or anything.
Yeah, I thought this was great. And just because you chug a bottle of champagne at a wedding doesn't mean, you know, you have a drinking problem or anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the wedding. It was after the wedding.
Oh, well, either way.
Great point.
Yeah.
And in your case, it was just before we started taping this.
Yeah, exactly. So there's nothing wrong with that.
It reminded me of a Hernandez Brothers comic or a short or something, because the supernatural elements were, it was just like everybody having fun, and the supernatural elements were the mystery and then eventually the resolution.
Last one we're going to talk about from Marvel Comics, Unstoppable Wasp, number one. This is by Jeremy Whiteley, who Pete is pointing at me right now. And he's correct in this case. Jeremy Whiteley, who recently wrote the Rainbow Bright comic that we really liked a lot.
Yeah.
And the art is by Guri Hiru, who I love. They're basically my favorite artists.
Yep.
And this is picking up right after the previous Wasp series, focusing on the new younger Wasp, Nadia, as well as the older Wasp, Janet Van Dyne. They've put together a STEM research collective called GIRL, an acronym, and they help out the Wasp as she fights AIM and battles supervillains, but also it delves very deeply into science and applications of science. This, other than the different author and different artist, it feels like it picks up exactly where the previous title left off, and I think that's great. I'm very excited to see it back.
Yeah, there's so much science in this, and so much of the story is about talking about, as you're saying, like it really, and her like sort of crisis at the end is like, oh man, I'm not doing enough science, which I thought was a fun twist.
How'd you feel about it, Pete?
I read it and I was like, this is a cute book that Zalvin will love. You know, it's fun.
You don't sound super hype about it, Pete.
Yeah, it's not, you know, I just need a drink is what I just need a drink. Right?
I would say I think a book like this is actually very important, particularly in the Marvel Universe, and I'd love to see more things like this because It is pushing STEM very heavily. I think the entire cast is female. There's not really any male characters whatsoever.
Jarvis.
And yes, Jarvis does show up there. That's true. And there's back matter where they have interviews with scientists. It seems like they're going to be keeping that up.
Yeah.
But it's also fun and light, and it's enjoyable to read. It doesn't feel like it's lecturing to you at any point. And to have an entry point for younger readers to come into the Marvel Universe, see STEM, see applications of science that then they can pursue and find out more about in their real life, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, there's not many other comic books you could read from Marvel where you're like, cool, I'm going to read this X-Men book and then find out about things blowing up, you know, or Kid Cable. Like, yeah. I got to find out more about that in my life. That you can read a fun superhero adventure of the Wasp fighting AIM and then be able to do further research on your own at the library is really cool.
Yeah, I was just the Wasp is a superhero because she is good at science and has applied her fantastical science to her life, and it really sets the stage for a reader to learn how to apply science to their lives.
Exactly.
In the same way that I've applied other examples of like X-Men stuff to my life.
Oh, like what?
Oh, just like trying to have maggots come out of my stomach at will.
And you're doing a really good job, by the way.
I know. I'm so sick.
Oh, man.
You should probably see somebody about that.
No, I'm hoping the maggots will save me.
If you would like to support Justin's hospital bill, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8
p.m.
You sure do. Yeah, thanks. At 8 p.m. in New York at the People's Improv Theater Loft. That's totally free. Please come on by. We'll chat about comic books. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And remember, my parents died in an alley. How's that?
It was awful.
Thank you.
Bruce Bane. I'll break my own self. Oh, no.